Hey friends, if you're wondering if you're at the right radio station, let me tell you that you are. This is Penny Miller, and I have the honor today of hosting Lamplighter. Now, I just want to forewarn you a little bit. This is going to be a tough, hard topic that we're going to be discussing today. And it is about when somebody that you love takes their life and they're committing suicide. So if you have children that you feel you don't want them to hear, this is your chance now to maybe give them something else to do. But my guest today, super special guest. I'm so glad she's here. And I'm really honored because this is my first time hosting Lamplighter. This is my sister, Cindy West. Cindy, I'm so glad that you're here. How are you doing today?
I'm just peachy.
Good. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're here. She drove from Shelbyville, and she's been my sister for a long time. I have to tell you, she's older than I am. I just had to throw that in. But I am so glad she's here. I'm so glad that you're willing to discuss the topic because so many people have gone through this, Cindy, and so many people need to hear your story. So I'm just going to let you share your story. It was my niece and nephew, Unity and Andrew, and I'll just preface it with Unity was 23 when this happened, correct? And Andrew was 22. Can you just share first with Unity and then with Andrew?
Well, I was at work and leaving, and a police officer pulled me over and asked me to go home. He needed to talk to me, so I went home, and me, not knowing anything that was going on, as soon as I got out in the car, I was joking with him and said, okay, what did I do now? And he said, well, let's just go inside, and we went in the house, and he asked me if I'd have a seat, so I sat down, still had no clue what was going on, and he just came right out and said, well, I hate to tell you this, but Unity is, he used the word deceased. And so he stayed there with us for a little bit, and two of my younger girls were at the house, and one took off out the backyard to go to the neighbor's house, and the other one, I'm not real sure where she went, but it's what they needed to do. And so then I called my son, Andrew, to let him know what had happened. And luckily, he was with a lot of his friends. They were all gathered around him because it hit him really, really hard. And he kind of lost it on the phone. And so then when we were done with the phone calls, I don't even remember who it was. You're kind of in a fog.
Sure.
And somebody came by, and we went up to Unity's house, and of course there were policemen and all kinds of people up there, and I wanted to go in. I felt like Unity needed me to be there with her, but they wouldn't let me go in because of the circumstances. And so we kind of hung out around there for, it was probably close to an hour before the coroner came, and then, you know, somebody else came in an ambulance and picked her up and took her to Springfield.
And how many years ago was this?
That was in 2001.
2001. Okay.
Yeah, almost, yeah, 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah, March 6th.
And then how many years later?
4 years later, in 2005, July 26th of 2005, I was at home in bed. It was like 12:30 at night, and I had gotten a phone call from Andrew, and I could hear him breathe, but he didn't say anything, and then all of a sudden the phone call ended. And I didn't think a lot about it, and probably within half an hour, I got a phone call from one of my daughters, and she said that one of her friends had called her, and they were literally freaking out because they had went up past Andrew's house, and ambulance was there, and police were there. So I went straight out to the hospital then, and they wouldn't let me go back and see him. They were working on him. And it wasn't just a few minutes, probably, that we were there, and they had come out and told us that he was gone. And that was another tough time.
Cindy, how do you, when you hear those words, I mean, I was there shortly after the police had left with Unity. I was shortly there at your house. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible thing to see somebody get such horrible news and to be in that depth of pain. Just what was going on in your head when you hear those words? Are you like, no way, this is not true? Am I dreaming? What were you thinking?
Exactly. I didn't believe it.
So denial.
Massive denial.
Yeah, I would think that's so normal.
And I think I stayed in denial with Unity until the day we went into the funeral home for visitation, the first time I got to see her. It was, that was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was the first time I saw her laying there. I think I actually remember you making the comment, something along the lines of, that was the, you heard me scream.
Wailing. I described it as wailing, and it was horrific.
Yeah.
You know, to know somebody is in that much pain. And we were praying. We were out there. I remember we were out there in the lobby or the parlor of that funeral home. We were praying. But then to hear that was, it was horrible. It was horrible. I can't even imagine. You know, the thing too about is not just the loss of a child. It's how. It's a choice. And that's so hard. So to me, it's a complicated grief, which is, you're going through two things. There's two realities here that you've got to be going through, and that's grief and trauma. I mean, it's grief when you've lost a child or a loved one, but when they've chosen to do that, you've got the trauma on top of that that you're dealing with. And then to have to do it twice, I mean, boy, you know, God's got, and he's used you a lot with that, Cindy, with people I know, and he's going to continue to use you with people that have gone through this type of trauma. How do you think that it really affected you and your kids? I mean, are we being drawn closer together? Or, you know, is everybody kind of just pulling apart? How do you think that affected you?
I really prayed a lot that it would pull my kids closer together. But I just don't see it as happening that way. I don't feel like they were pulled closer together. If something happened to one, of course, they would all be right there, you know, to back him up or to help him through whatever the situation was. But they just don't seem to be as close as I thought that they would be.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a pretty close family.
Yes.
You really do.
Oh, yes. So. And we are still very, very mm-hmm, close. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, one of them has moved to Mattoon, and one of them is moving, you know, out to the country down by, I don't know, Beecher City or St. Elmo. And everybody has their own life, and they're all so busy with kids and sports and school and everything. But even though they don't seem close. I mean, we just don't spend that much time together anymore, I guess is how I feel like we're not as close as we used to be. Mm-hmm. Because we did used to spend a lot of time together.
You did. But as you said, you know, with so many other families, when they have their families, they're all going in different directions, it seems like. So it is hard to spend that much time together as you used to when they're younger.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this tough question. And you can just be honest, be real, because I already know how I would answer this. Were you angry with God?
Oh, after I lost Unity, I wasn't angry with God. I had a cousin that told me, I don't think you grieved properly after you lost Unity. She said, I think you spent more time trying to stay strong mm-hmm. for the other kids.
You were.
But then after we lost Andrew, I was furious with God. I just kept telling myself, you could have stopped this. You could have stopped this, you know. And it was probably close to 5 years. I still believed in God. I still loved God. I didn't go to church near as much. I didn't read my Bible near as much. And a few years down the road then, I got some counseling from a pastor, which helped immensely. And then I stopped and realized, this isn't God's fault. This was written in the book many, many, many years before my kids were ever even thought about. This was going to happen. And as I was told, you know, God gives us our own free will. They were the ones that chose to do this. Now, with Andrew's, I know his was not a purposely thing. It was what they called an accidental suicide. But still, fact remains, it was a suicide.
I understand that. And listeners, I just want to let you know that we're going to wrap this part one up, but please join us tomorrow for the next part. We have so much more to discuss here. And we're so thankful, Cindy, that you have come in today and are just willing to share a horrifying story. It is just a heartbreaking story. So listeners, come back tomorrow.